You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's once again Consumer Awareness Wednesday time, Warning Wednesdays, Consumer Awareness, whatever you want to call them. I've said this on the show in the past before that we will be doing these segments as often as we can to help educate our listeners, help educate consumers out there around the dangers that lurk in terms of scams that are out there, in terms of people impersonating others and the like. And this week, it's quite interesting because a couple of weeks ago, I attended a financial crime symposium with various stakeholders in the industry, especially in financial services, and it was aimed at tackling financial crime and tackling the grey listing that we've been put on from the Financial Action Task Force. And one of the institutions that was in attendance there was the National Consumer Commission. And the outcomes of that symposium in brief are that all the stakeholders are working together to hopefully better the situation in South Africa in terms of tackling financial crime. And to that effect, the National Consumer Commission has actually put out a warning. And so we thought, why not have them on Warning Wednesdays with us? Because this is exactly why we've created the segment. And I'm joined on the line by Joseph Sololo, who is the company secretary at the National Consumer Commission, to look at this latest warning and try and unpack what it is all about. Good evening, Joseph. Thanks for taking the time. The warning that was put out was around this concept of virtual pig farming. Can you take us through what we know about this and why it popped up on your radar?
Good evening to you and to the listeners. Yes, indeed. It came to our attention via a complaint that we received coupled with our own monitoring. So in essence, this piggy farm trading entity seems to be saying that you as a person can invest into a virtual pig, which then will give you a return of 500 rands per month. So you pay an upfront payment and this pig somehow manages to generate money for you. And then that caught our attention because it doesn't seem to be very legal. It seems to be what we would normally call a Ponzi scheme.
Now, Joseph, ordinarily these sorts of financial schemes fall within the remit of the FSCA, and we've been working closely with them. We've been sharing information. The information that we are having in this conversation as well has been shared with the FSCA, and we'll come to that in a second. But I want to first touch on the provisions of the Consumer Protection Act. What do those provisions afford consumers in terms of their rights and their protections, and why is it so important that consumers are aware of what the CPA aims to do so that they are not victims to these sorts of scams?
Yes. So the CPA, Consumer Protection Act, offers protection to consumers of goods and services, and it gives them a number of rights in as far as the purchasing of goods and services is concerned. But then it has other provisions that don't necessarily deal with the goods and services, but with the services and sort of the financial services. So what you find under the FIC Act is that there are regulated financial service providers. Those ones will then be regulated by other regulators. But then ones that are not regulated are actually then would be the ones where the NCC has jurisdiction over. And what the law there says specifically is that no one in South Africa should invest in or join any type of a pyramid scheme or Ponzi scheme. So it outlaws those activities out and out.
Now, Joseph, the pig farm that you guys have identified, or this scheme that you've warned consumers about, what is so dangerous about the manner in which this is being marketed to our consumers, and how do we ensure that consumers are able to identify these sorts of schemes and flag them back to you guys if they think someone might be doing something like this?
Yes, so it is dangerous on two fronts. The one front is that definitely you will then lose the money that you invest because it's not a real investment. So typically how they operate is that new investor money is used to pay the old investors and eventually it does collapse. So it is dangerous in that front that you lose your money. But it is also dangerous in that it is outlawed in the Republic. So when you invest in that, you yourself are actually breaking the law. So now you find yourself on the wrong side of the law. Look, the age-old saying that if it's too good to be true, then it's too good to be true. So how you can notice these things is that the return that they promise is generally exorbitant, and in the law says no one must promise or guarantee a return that is 20% above the repo rate. So that's another way of noticing this. But the general thing is that the returns that they promise are generally astronomical.
Joseph, take a listen to this, please.
Hi, Jimmy. There's something I thought I should bring to your attention. We've lately seen quite a few cases of persons using license numbers, FSP license numbers, of cases that it's either been cancelled or licenses that has lapsed or applications that has been rejected. Using these numbers create the impression that these scammers are actually properly registered with the FSCA, and that is a major problem for the public because it will create comfort with them. So at the end of the day, I can just repeat that the public must be extremely careful when dealing with unsolicited calls for investment opportunities and with investment offers on social media platforms. Those are areas of extremely high risk for the public. Thank you.
That was the voice of the head of enforcement at the FSCA, sharing that as part of our ongoing awareness campaign. Joseph, from a consumer perspective, something that Gerard mentioned was the fact that people are not afraid to impersonate other individuals. What can consumers do to safeguard themselves in this instance? How do consumers then take information that they're seeing in the public domain and share it with someone like the National Consumer Commission if they feel that this is something that needs to be brought to your attention?
Yes, you can go to onto our website and we are able to lodge a complaint with us there, and then we will then be able to look into the complaint that you're looking at, that you have, and you can also send your concern to us by a dedicated email that is called scams@thenccc.org.za. Then we will be able to look into the issues that you are complaining about or suspicious of. And back to the voice note, indeed, there is a lot of impersonation. So most companies will have their social media pages. Reputable companies will also have social media pages. However, they generally do not sell the products on the social media pages. So they do not have your normal, usual websites and so on where you can verify. So consumers are advised not to accept each and everything that they see on social media, but to do a little bit of digging, a little bit of research to authenticate the information you are seeing on the social media.
That's always, always what we stress with these segments is that do your homework, do your research. If you're uncertain, rather not invest and don't leave it to chance. I just want to recap on something that was very, very important that consumers might not be aware of, that Joseph, you mentioned in the conversation a little earlier, saying that it's one thing to be a victim of these schemes and to be involved in these schemes, or for the schemes to be marketed towards you, but for you to actually invest in them is then a separate breach of law and is an illegal act from your perspective. I think a lot of consumers don't understand the ramifications thereof.
That is correct. A lot of South Africans are not aware that the law in South Africa actually makes it illegal for you to invest in such dealings. So as a result, they go ahead and invest in those dealings. What is another problem is that some consumers seem to believe that they figured out how these schemes and scams work. They believe that they know when to invest and when to disinvest. As a matter of fact, there is no such. You'll never know when the scheme will collapse. The only thing is it will collapse. So it is consumers are advised to stay away from anything that promises a quick return.
Mm. Joseph, I remember something that you mentioned at the symposium when we were there was around the fact that even with these schemes and investing in the schemes, when the scheme does eventually collapse, you will not recover your funds because those funds are then part of assets that are forfeited because they are the proceeds of crime. Can you just expand on that as well? Because I think there's a lot of misconception here around the fact that consumers think, oh, okay, the scheme has collapsed, we'll get our money back somehow.
What the law says, as I've said, the law outlaws the investment in this thing. So it says no person can participate or promote any type of this pyramid and Ponzi schemes, right? So that's basically the law. Now, if it's now illegal to so do, our law is very specific. Our law says no consequence shall flow from an illegal activity. So you cannot now have a legal right to the money that you invested in an illegal activity when so investing in of itself is illegal. So you can no longer now have any legal expectations from there. So in fact, the law not only says do not invest, it says if you so invest, you are in contravention of the law and you may be fined 1 million or 10% of your annual income, whichever is the greater. So it not only does it outlaws it, it then also imposes a penalty for so investing, and therefore you cannot expect to receive your money back. You can't.
That is such an important point, and I think we'll leave it on that note because a lot of consumers aren't aware of this, and we thank institutions like the National Consumer Commission for bringing this to the attention of consumers because, yes, it's one thing to be the victim of a scam, but you could also face more criminal ramifications yourself. Thanks for those insights and for that very, very important warning, Joseph. That's Joseph Sololo, who is the company secretary at the National Consumer Commission, joining me this week for our consumer awareness segment. Just while we have that on that note, the National Consumer Commission confirmed to me that for these virtual pig schemes that they have identified, they have obtained preservation orders to the tune of 4.3 million rand in an effort to preserve the invested amounts that consumers have put into these schemes and to put an end to these matters.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.